European museums hold hundreds of thousands of colonial-era artifacts, many of them looted from their place of origin in Africa, Asia, and the Americas. For decades, there's been a heated debate about whether these objects of huge cultural significance should be given back, yet only a handful have ever been returned. Now activists have begun taking matters into their own hands. Journalist Alan Clark has been finding out why.
France is fiercely proud of its culture and history. Walk down any of Paris's grand boulevards and you quickly realise the capital is a monument to the glories of the empire. The nation's cultural trophies are on display in its world-class museums. Now the debate about who owns many of these precious objects is firing up.
When France colonised Africa, it brought home tens of thousands of its cultural objects, many taken under duress, others looted during violent conflict. France insists they're the rightful owner, but others say they belong in Africa and should be returned.
I leave Paris and head 30 minutes out of the city. Champigny Sur-Marne is a melting pot of people from different cultures, many from former French colonies and departments. I'm here to meet a man determined to force France to confront its colonial past.
Ça va bien?
Oui, 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 ah, ça ouais. va.
Sinon.
Votre quartier?
Oui, oui, je suis non loin d'ici et souvent on vient aussi.
Mwazulu Diabanza was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. He's a political refugee who came to live in France as a young man.
Je pense que pour rentrer, il faut le masque.
This looks amazing.
Quelques produits africains qui se vendent là. Ah, voilà.
What is this?
Ça, c'est des aubergines africaines. Des légumes parfaits, quoi. Merci, madame. Merci.
He's still an activist, but now his fight is with the French state. He believes it's still behaving like a colonial power in Africa.
Patriotique, comment allez-vous?
Mwazulu is a leader of an African socialist group. Its members in Europe and Africa do regular hookups to discuss politics and strategy.
D'accord. Mais sinon, pour les activités, c'est comment?
They're fighting for the return of their cultural heritage. Without it, they believe Africa will never know its true self.
La maison culturelle a été détruite. L'âme de l'Afrique vraie a été volée. Il faut réparer cela. Pour reconstruire cet édifice, on commence d'abord par des briques qui ont été justement volées. Et ces briques-là, ce sont nos pièces-là. C'est les restes humains de nos ancêtres qui sont enterrés ici.
But it's not that simple. Here in France, the return of cultural objects has long been a taboo topic. Then in 2017, the subject became a heated national talking point when President Macron, shortly after his election, visited Africa and made a radical promise.
Le patrimoine africain ne peut pas être uniquement dans des collections privées et des musées européens. Je veux que d'ici 5 ans, les conditions soient réunies pour des restitutions temporaires ou définitives du patrimoine africain en Afrique.
But 4 years on, only 2 objects have been returned.
La déclaration d'Emmanuel Macron pour nous, ce sont des manœuvres dilatoires. Vous savez, comme tout fin politique, on donne souvent aux gens ce qu'ils veulent entendre. Et c'est ce qu'a fait Emmanuel Macron.
Last year, Mwazulu took matters into his own hands, starting in Paris.
Voilà.
On part avec notre bien. Je suis venu récupérer ça au musée des Quais Branly.
He began big at the Quai Branly Museum, which has tens of thousands of objects from Africa.
Quand on entre dans un musée, c'est le symbole d'avoir pris l'objet qui compte pour nous, c'est-à-dire d'avoir libéré cet objet. Je ramène en Afrique tout ce qui a été pillé, tout ce qui a été volé, alors que le sang des Africains coulait.
Then in Marseille, he snatched an object from a museum, live streaming the entire stunt to his followers online.
Mesdames et messieurs, hommes et femmes, êtes-vous complices de ces crimes odieux? Quand on fait cet acte-là, on voudrait dire au monde entier que la pièce a été libérée.
Ils nous ont bloqués. Vous voyez aussi, on n'est pas
la police. He even tried it on in the world's most famous museum, the Louvre.
Donc, ils ont pillé, volé.
But he got arrested. He even went to the Netherlands, where he actually managed to get a sculpture outside the museum. But he didn't get far.
His actions are very political. I don't think this man is trying to steal anything from any museum. His point is to show that there is a problem and nobody is speaking about it.
Marie Cécile Zanzou is a curator of contemporary African art. Her family comes from France and the tiny West African nation of Benin.
These objects are part of our history and explain who we were. So they're very, very important. It's very symbolical. It's not really a question, you know, of money or importance, financial importance, because some of these objects are very precious, some of them not at all. But the thing is that they tell us who we are.
Identity is at the heart of artist Romeo Mivicanon's work. Born in Africa, he now lives in France. His family is West African royalty.
Bonjour, Romeo.
His great-great-grandfather was King Beyhansen in what is now the nation of Benin.
Quand on me demande au fait le rôle ou la signification, que, le signifiant en tout cas, de ce que représente Beyhansen, c'est l'équivalent de Napoléon en France, quoi. Parce que c'est quelqu'un vraiment qui a combattu les colons, qui a combattu au nom de la liberté et surtout au fait qu'il s'est battu pour son peuple jusqu'aux derniers instants de sa vie.
In 1892, facing fierce resistance from Beyhansen, the French army invaded the kingdom, forcing him and his family into exile. They then pillaged the palace, taking everything from thrones to tunics, before bringing the loot back to France.
Dépouiller ces sociétés de ces objets, quelque part, c'était de les arracher des membres de leur corps. Donc c'était une manière, au fait, de les amputer de leurs histoires, je pense.
Romeo takes me to César, just a few blocks away.
This is the work. It's amazing.
Ah oui, c'est très grand.
His large-scale paintings on linen are hand-painted copies of photographs of his family, showing their journey into exile.
This is your family.
Voilà. La grande famille. Cette femme est la maman de ma grand-mère Yvette Beyhansen.
I can see you actually have put yourself in here as well.
Ah, bon. Oui, c'est vrai que je suis... Enfin, dans mon travail, souvent, il y a un travail d'autoportrait qui revient. Dans ce cas, au fait, je tiens le parasol au roi. Et c'est une manière, au fait, de s'insérer dans une histoire, au fait, qui est passée, mais dont je fais partie d'une certaine manière.
This one is quite striking image.
He's painted one of the most potent symbols of the king's defeat, an empty throne.
Parce que quelque part, elle représente la présence et l'absence du roi. Les trônes, c'est le siège du roi. Et si on vous enlevait des sièges, vous imaginez pas vous asseoir sans un siège. On n'imagine pas un salon en Europe sans siège.
Thrones and other objects looted from Romeo's ancestors ended up here, in the Kay Bronley Museum, France's biggest ethnographic collection. Born in New Caledonia, Emmanuel Casa Eru is the first Indigenous-born president of a major French museum.
There's many, many things. We are travelling through Papua New Guinea here. We were in the Solomon Island, and we're passing by a wonderful piece from Vanuatu.
The museum has a collection of 70,000 objects from Africa, most brought to France during its colonial rule.
Some of these are from former French colonies in Africa. How did these come into the museum's collection?
That's one of the main problems we face at the moment, because at a time when these things these objects were brought to Paris, people do not take very much into account the way it was acquired. But there's a big provenance research undertaken at the moment trying to trace back, but it's quite difficult. If they are acquired illegally, or illegitimately, but this is our duty to put the case to the head of state saying we should look at this situation, and then the parliament will decide on further action to be done.
In the heart of the museum are some of the objects looted from Benin by the invading French. Statues, doors, and thrones.
Thrown here.
This is quite spectacular.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Emmanuel says before the French army reached the palace, King Beihongzhen set it alight. The soldiers rescued the objects inside.
Essentially, they were looted, but at the same time saved in a way. It's quite complicated,
because it was looted, for sure. But at the same time, this object wouldn't be there if the palace was completely destroyed by the fire.
Romeo feels torn about the objects ending up in a museum.
Enfin, moi, la première fois, je les ai vus. Oui, il y a une forme de colère intérieure, de douleur, enfin, de voir ces objets-là. On se demande pourquoi ils sont là. Enfin, mais en même temps, si vous voulez, c'est le produit de l'histoire, parce que si elles n'étaient pas là, on pourrait imaginer qu'elles ont disparu aussi. Donc un siècle plus tard, je trouve que c'est hyper complexe, quoi.
Macron's bold promise to send African artifacts home has put other European countries on notice. Like France, Germany's museums hold tens of thousands of objects from Africa. But unlike in France, there's a lively debate here about the country's colonial record. In downtown Berlin, the activist and academic Joshua Kwesi wants to show me how traces of Germany's colonial past still linger in the city.
This is the site where the German Chancellor Bismarck invited all the other European colonial powers and the US and the Ottoman Empire to come and discuss the carving up of the African continent.
The meetings began here in 1884.
There were no representatives from the African continent. There was nobody actually from the territories that were carved up.
European nations competed with each other to grab land and resources.
And so German colonies were in what is today Togo, which includes what is today Ghana, right? Cameroon, what were then called German Southwest Africa, today Namibia. All of these places experienced brutal German colonial rule.
Germany's time as a colonial power was short. Nearly 40 years later, it was forced to hand over its territories to the victors of World War I. But artifacts collected during that time still fill its museums. Joshua wants them dealt with in the same way as the art stolen by the Nazis.
All we demand is that the insights Germany gained from that part of its history need to be extended to include the dealings with colonial history and looted art of that era. That it is simply wrong that these objects are there.
I'm heading to Hamburg to see some sculptures that have become the symbol of looted colonial art.
Many African artifacts arrived in the port of Hamburg in the 19th century. Among them were some Benin bronzes. These are sculptures and carvings looted by the British in 1897 after a bloody war in Benin City in present-day Nigeria.
It's quite an incredible building.
Yeah, it was opened in 1912.
Okay. And you have Benin bronzes here as well?
Yes, we have quite an interesting collection of about 170 pieces.
Dr. Barbara Plankensteiner is a world expert on the Benin bronzes.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a conservation office. We took three of our works out for inspection. So this is one of these relief plaques, very characteristic for the Benin royal art. They tell a lot about the history and the ceremonial culture.
The statues aren't actually all bronze. Some are made of iron, brass and ivory.
So this is, I'm assuming, one piece of ivory that has been carved.
Yes, and it's actually a staff that has been used in certain ceremonies where with a little ivory stick you would knock on it.
The intricate sculptures documented court life for over 500 years, hanging on palace walls.
And so this type of hat, we date into the 19th century. Mm-hmm. There is inlay, the eyes, the pupils are inlaid with iron.
Iron.
And, you know, iron is a very powerful material. The sheer number and quality of the work is exceptional. There might be about 5,000 works in most prominent museum collections all over the world.
An international campaign for the return of the Benin bronzes to Nigeria has been gathering pace. And it's causing big headaches for Germany's newest and most expensive cultural project. The Humboldt Forum in Berlin was still under construction when we visited. Its collection of non-European art and artifacts is one of the richest in the world. In the years it's taken to build this massive museum, controversy has raged over what to do with its colonial collection. Herman Partzinger heads one of the foundations which manages the Humboldt.
Until very few years ago, the colonial history of Germany was not, for the German population, was not really an issue, wasn't really a problem. And of course, the situation changed. We have much more people from Africa living in Germany, the immigrants and so on, so we cannot anymore ignore this.
The Humboldt Forum has the second largest collection of Benin bronzes after the British Museum. Over 500 objects. The museum's been under immense public pressure not to display them.
You plan to exhibit some of the Benin bronzes here. How do you do that ethically, knowing that these objects were looted?
Well, these objects will be exposed. The story behind these objects will be told, the looting and everything. It's important that we have not a lacuna, an empty space here on Benin or leaving Benin completely and putting a completely other topic from our collections in this gallery.
Recently, the German government said it wants to return a number of bronzes to Nigeria.
Things should go back, but how many things go back and which things go back and which things can be shown here in the Humboldt Forum and in other places, I think this has to be solved in a dialogue with responsible persons in Nigeria. I think this is the important thing which we have to solve.
With COVID restrictions easing, Europe's museums are opening up. And Wazulu Diabanza is on the move. We track him down in Portugal, where he's being followed by another media team.
Salut. Donc on est déjà à Lisbonne. Oui, j'avoue, je ne peux pas vous rappeler le rôle joué par le Portugal dès le premier instant de la déstabilisation de notre mère patrie l'Afrique.
He's live streaming his every move.
Bon, je vais quitter petit à petit la zone aéroport.
Portugal began colonizing parts of Africa as early as the 1400s, one of the first European countries to do so. Mazulu and his colleagues want to remind people of that history. His first target is the Museum of Ethnology, which holds many African objects. Mazulu is looking for objects taken during those early days of Portugal's colonization.
Aujourd'hui, nous commençons le travail pour récupérer notre patrimoine de 1400 à 1890.
He finds these pot lids from Angola, but they're not very old and he can't get at them.
En circulant dans ces musées, à part ces pièces-là que j'ai vues, il y a d'autres pièces qui sont là-bas, mais qui sont pour moi des pièces qui ne sont pas anciennes, qui sont des pièces qui sont très récentes. Par exemple, vous voyez, je peux facilement le prendre et partir avec à la maison parce qu'il ne faut jamais demander au voleur la permission. Mais en analysant ces pièces-là, elles sont récentes. Elles ne sont pas aussi anciennes que je la veux. Donc j'ai bon jugé de ne pas les emporter.
Mazulu leaves empty-handed. But his local network has another plan.
Mais bon, attends. Vous pouvez me donner l'adresse exacte, s'il vous plaît?
His next target is the National Museum of Antigua Art. It has an exhibition with 16th century African objects. But again, he has no luck.
Non, il y a juste une petite exposition là. Une exposition temporaire. Les œuvres là où il y a les pièces africaines, c'est pas ouvert.
C'est pas ouvert aujourd'hui?
C'est fermé.
His growing media profile is working against him. He believes museum staff refused him entry because they recognized him.
Ah là là, c'est compliqué.
The next day, he makes one final attempt. He's giving up for now.
Qu'est-ce qu'on a? Mais je pense en tout état des causes, je rentre sur Paris ce soir. Comme ça, on envisage autre chose, Berlin, Bruxelles, et voir dans quelle mesure on peut agir autrement.
Late last year, 3 years after Macron's pledge, France's parliament passed a law to return 27 objects to Africa, 26 back to the nation of Benin. Among them, these objects looted from Romeo's ancestors.
I think it's a very historical moment for a French museum because the first time that so many objects will be given back. It's not the end of something, it's the beginning of something new.
France has no immediate plans to return other African objects, but says it supports long-term cooperation with African countries on returns.
If it's a first step, it's historical. It's very important. It's the most symbolical thing you can do. If it's the only step, well, it's 27 objects, you know, it's nothing. But I think we'll need 10 to 20 years to understand if this was an absolute revolution or if it was just a speech in 2017.
For Romeo, the return of the throne his ancestors once sat on and other items is long overdue.
Vous savez, c'est comme quand les gens font un accident et pètent un membre. Ils ont la perte d'un membre et ils ressentent toujours, en fait, une douleur fantôme. Le fait de le réintégrer, ça va finir par cicatriser, en fait, cette douleur fantôme. Pour les Africains, le fait que ces objets réintègrent le continent africain, quelque part, c'est de leur rendre le pouvoir, de leur rendre, en fait, leur puissance vitale. Il y a une question de dignité là-dedans, de rendre la dignité aux gens.